So during this past week, as I went about the business of my week, I had an experience which actually I think in our day and age is all too common, and one which you yourselves may have had. I had been at an appointment, I got in my car and I drive away, and the very first intersection I come to at the traffic light, there stands a man. And the man is standing at the street corner, he's holding a sign saying, "Homeless, please help." You've probably had that happen to you. You see it on many street corners, including in this neighborhood. So I rolled down my window, I stopped there. He was standing right there. Rolled down my window, I gave him some money. I was in my collar, and so he said, "Oh, thank you so much, Father." And then off I went on my way. The very next day, I'm driving up North Main Street, come to the intersection at Branch Avenue, and there at that light is another man holding a similar sign. That traffic light, though, was just turning green. And I thought, it really isn't safe for me to stop here, give him money with all the traffic and the coming and going. So I did what perhaps you have done. I'll confess I was not in collar that time. As I come to the light, I think it's not safe to stop here, so I'm going to go, but I'm not going to look at him. And then as I turned the corner going up Cypress Street, I thought, what did I just do? I couldn't even look at him and acknowledge his humanity. And I'm driving up Cypress Street thinking, I just drove by a man in whom Jesus dwells, and I ignored him. And so it was less that I couldn't help him with money and more that I had denied his humanity. Now, this may have all been in my mind because I was thinking about today's gospel. Excuse me. Today's gospel, which is about welcome, which is about seeing in the other the presence of Christ. And that call of following Jesus, which is to be that presence of Christ in the world to other people. St. Benedict, you may know, wrote his famous rule, which in many ways is the foundation of Western monastic life. And one of St. Benedict's great concerns was how are visitors welcomed? How is hospitality shown? For he asserted that the person walking through the door is Christ, and we should receive that person as we would receive Jesus. And so in his rule, he says, let all guests who arrive be received like Christ, for he is going to say, I came as a guest and you received me. And to all let due honor be shown, especially to the domestics of the faith and to pilgrims. So St. Benedict tells the monks to, when a visitor arrives, greet them as you would Christ, pray with them, wash their hands and feet, and then feed them. And feed them no matter what season it is. Even if it's a fast season, the abbot is to break his fast and eat with the person, to show absolute hospitality and welcome, to care for that one who has come into their midst. Benedict says, in the reception of the poor and of pilgrims, the greatest care and solicitude should be shown, because it is especially in them that Christ is received. So it is that Benedict urges this full and complete hospitality to those who come into the midst of the community, to welcome them, to see in them Jesus in their midst. In our gospel this morning, we have Jesus teaching about welcome, about seeing the presence of God in the other. Jesus teaches, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. In welcoming another, we are welcoming Jesus. We should see the presence of God in the other, see the other person as beloved son or daughter of God. It reminds me of John's gospel, where we have that abiding that Jesus talks about, how he abides in the Father abides in him, and we abide in him. That deep relationship rooted in the love of the Trinity, where we are caught up into that loving economy of God. These gospel words today come at the conclusion of what we heard last week, this 10th chapter of Matthew. Last week we heard some hard words. Jesus is preparing the 12. He has been in their midst, preaching and teaching and healing, and now he's sending them out. Sending them out two by two, sending them out carrying nothing extra, just what they have on their back. Go to places that will receive you and show you hospitality. If they don't receive you, move on. Shake the dust from your sandals. But Jesus also warns them in teaching them that as he is received, so they will be received. So if Jesus is welcomed, they will be welcomed. If Jesus is persecuted, they will be persecuted. Jesus will go to the cross, he tells them, and they may too. And in that same gospel, you may remember from last week, those hard words about loving no one more than Jesus, not even family. About following Jesus being about a sword of division, not peace. Separating parents from children. Dividing families. But Jesus says, love no one more than me. Follow. Even if you have that strife. But know that God is with you always in everything. The cross leads to abundant and new life. So this discipleship that Jesus is teaching about and calling the 12 into is a kind of radical discipleship with a major cost. It costs something to follow Jesus. But is that promise of life, unlike life we can imagine or know, a fullness and abundance of life? Today's gospel has some hint of that promise, of that presence of God dwelling in every person, in you and in me, of being caught up in that love of God, in that deep relationship of God, and that call to then, like the 12, to go out, to be missionaries, to bring that good news to a world that's full of hatred and division, of hurting, of people who are thirsting for the encounter of the love of God. For I think we live in an age which is marked by deep fear and distrust. I'm always struck by, we live in an age where the crime rate has been lower than it's been in decades, and yet we have such fear of crime. And some people take great lengths to protect themselves. We have fear of the stranger in our midst, fear of the immigrant. We have fear of the homeless, the one we do not know, do not understand. Recently I read in the newspaper that in Honolulu, the mayor is very concerned because Honolulu, as much of Hawaii, has as a primary industry tourism. And people flock to Honolulu for the beautiful weather and scenery, for that experience of those islands. But Honolulu also is attractive to those who don't have a place to live because it's very warm and temperate. It's a lot better being on the streets of Honolulu than in many other places. And so the mayor's wrestling with how to promote tourism, but what to do with those who have no homes. And they started ticketing the homeless and assessing fines, trying to remove them from downtown. Now, I don't have an answer to what you do about that, but what is our call as Christians? How are we called to welcome those in our midst, even those who might be different from us? For that call of God, of Jesus, is not for us to decide who's in or out, not to be gatekeepers, but to welcome all, to see in everyone beloved children of God. So what is our call? The 12 were sent out two by two. Jesus gave them clear instructions. How are we being sent out? What is our call as disciples of Jesus? To what missionary activity are we being called? This may seem a strange connection at first, but today is Social Media Sunday in the Episcopal Church. A challenge to the Episcopal Church to have a presence in social media, to let the world know why we're here, that we're here, to let the world know what we experience in the church as we gather week by week. It's estimated that 80% of people who visit a church for the first time first encounter that church through a website or through social media. They check it out before they come. The church is not always so good at using social media, and there are those I've heard say, well, I'm not sure about that Facebook thing, that's sort of new, and how long is it going to be around? Well, I have to tell you, Facebook has over a billion users all over the world. It's not going to stay forever, but I think something else will come after it. Social media is here to stay, and actually has an important role in modern life. It unites people across boundaries and geography. If you think back to the uprisings of the Arab Spring, Twitter was incredibly important for organizing people, moving people, for that work of bringing people together. What's our call as Episcopalians in relation to social media? There are 2 million Episcopalians. It's estimated just if a small fraction of us on this day were to post something on social media about being in church, we could reach 10 million people. And I don't think this is just a gimmick or just about maybe they'll come to church and fill our pews even more. But I think it's how can we in the 21st century effectively reach out to be missionaries, to bring this good news of Jesus to the world in a way that they can receive it. The reality is those 10 million people are not flocking through the doors of churches. How can we reach them? How can we take this good news of Jesus to people in the world who are thirsty to hear that message? How can we reach out to people who are hurting, who are lonely, who are isolated? How can we connect and hear people in telling us about the activity of God in their lives, learning who they are, how they experience the holy? And how can we be a presence of love, of welcome in this culture of fear and division? How can we be a presence of reconciliation, building connections between people, overcoming those boundaries that our culture puts in place? And so on this Sunday, on this social media Sunday, I first say to you, Facebook away, Twitter away, let the world know we're here and what we're doing. Be a presence to the world that they may come and know what we know, maybe even dare to visit us. But above all, let us say yes to that call of Jesus to be followers, to be disciples, to be missionaries going out into the world. And maybe we be faithful in that, knowing that God has given us all we need to do the work we have been given to do, to go out like those 12 and to be missionaries in the name of Christ. And may we welcome all who come into our midst, either in this dwelling or that we encounter in the world, knowing that Jesus is dwelling with them. They are beloved children of God. And may we show them gracious and loving hospitality, assuring them that no matter what is happening in life, that love of God holds us forever. Though we may suffer, though there is the cross, is a promise of new life, of resurrected life, and life for eternity. So let us be faithful followers and missionaries, bringing that presence of Christ to the world. Teresa of Avila, who was a mystic and saint, lived in the 16th century, had a keen understanding of our call to be Christ in and to the world. And she said this, Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out, Christ's companion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless men now. Amen.
Amen.